I'm always asking the question, where am I powerful here? Where do I have power? So it's about redirecting my attention and my intention and my consciousness towards that which I can do.
Welcome to the Ecstatic Women Podcast. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our inner wisdom and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to self-discover, create, and be present in the world, while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our sense of empowerment so we can live our lives ecstatically. Now let's welcome our host, Alara Sage.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. I'm your host, Alara Sage, the Ecstatic Life Mentor. And all of you beautiful ecstatics listening to this, if you're listening to this, I want you to know that you are an ecstatic. Therefore, you have the potential to live a life that is ecstatic, that is blissful, that is fulfilling, that is really authentic and honorable to who you are. One of the things to note about being an ecstatic woman is that, yes, we need to own our femme power. We need to embody her, to express her fully without limitation, without suppression. And we also need to balance her with our own inner masculine energy, that harmonization. And that balance of those two polarities is what really gives us the power and the potential to both be our creative genius and actualize that into our physical reality. And today we have a guest who I feel very strongly understands this, embodies this, and teaches this so beautifully. Sonia Miller is with us today. She is a fulfillment and an embodiment coach. She helps women to really find their fulfillment and to stop just not creating what they truly desire, not settling for things that aren't that 100% yes. So let's celebrate and welcome with our hearts Sonia Miller to this space. Sonia, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, thanks, Alara. It's so great to have this opportunity with you. We've known each other for a while, and now we get to hang out, play, and have a great conversation.
I was really trying to remember the word, stop settling. That's what it was. I was like, stop. What is it she uses? Stop settling. It's so important because I think so many of us settle, even though we don't always know that that's what we're doing. And when Sonia and I were first connecting, we were really talking about power. And what is power? Now, that word, I definitely use that word a lot. That word gets used a lot in the spiritual community, in business, and in humanity. So Sonia, tell me, how do you define power? What is power to you?
You know, it's such a great point what you just said. It's like we talk about power all the time, but do we actually ever define it? You know, so I mean, I think the first place is it's a feeling that we have. You know, we feel powerful, and that's a very individual sort of a thing. And so I think that, you know, based on the work that you do too, that aspect of always coming back to our bodies, and that's what I'm really passionate about when I start to teach what fulfillment is. Fulfillment is another one of those words that we throw around, but do we really know how to define it? So I like to say that fulfillment is not something you achieve. You know, we don't say I achieved fulfilled. We say I feel fulfilled. I felt fulfilled. And power to me is the same sort of a thing. It's first and foremost something that we recognize because we feel powerful. And I always like to look at the polarities from, well, if we don't know how to define something, what is it not? So it's not feeling limited. It's not feeling constrained. It's not feeling trapped. It's not feeling afraid. Or if we do feel afraid, it's how do we access our safety? You know, I think for me, feeling powerful is that I'm able to tap into, whether I actually feel it at any given moment or not, I'm always asking the question, where am I powerful here? Where do I have power? So it's about redirecting my attention and my intention and my consciousness towards that which I can do versus what a lot of us fall into sort of unconsciously, which is all of the can't do's and the limitations and the places that we feel constrained. So that's kind of, I don't know, my starting place is that feeling place inside of us.
I love that. Where do I feel powerful, or how am I actually powerful in that moment? That's an immediate shift of our perspective out of not feeling powerful into there is a form of power here. I am empowered. Where is that? For you, Sonia, where do you believe that women in particular have not felt empowered? Why do we not feel empowered? You kind of alluded to this, sometimes we fall prey into I can'ts, right? Why do you think that is?
Well, in my world, and you know, this is why I'm a fulfillment and empowerment coach. I mean, this has been my habitat that I've been breathing, swimming in for a long time. And a big awareness came to me when I started to distinguish power versus control. And I think what happens is if we don't actually think about what power is, if we don't contemplate it, if we don't explore it, we just default to what we know and what we've done that has actually worked for us. And so I think that in the absence of, and this is how I access power, I believe you do too, that it's very much an internal thing, that it's something that not only is accessible within, but already is within. It's already within us. It's inside of us. We don't always feel it, but it's something that we already are. We are powerful. And in the absence of that awareness of, oh, my power lies within, and how do I access it? And how do I actually feel it if I actually am powerful, which is actually the truth. I mean, women are so powerful. Every human being is so naturally powerful. Why don't we feel it, right? And so what I find is that if we don't know how to, that whole internal terrain, we default to what we know. And that's where we settle. So most of us have learned to feel powerful by being in control. So as long as we feel in control, as long as we're in control, we feel powerful. And then when we feel out of control or we lose control, we don't. But the problem is, most of life, you can't control. So we're always chasing this thing that's beyond our actual power to connect with. And so that's what I see. Women feel really out of control when we can't control things. And the truth is, there's a lot that we can't control. So we keep trying and trying and trying. And it's this elusive thing.
Ah, what a fantastic answer. And I 100% resonate with that. For me, it also was a big deal. I didn't ever think of myself as a person who was controlling. However, when I started to really embody my power and come into the conversation of surrender, surrendering into my own power, surrendering into divine will, I realized how much I was attempting to control my external reality. So how would you define these differences? Because I think for some women and for some people, as you said, control can feel powerful. Control can be a way that we are attempting to have that sense of power and empowerment. So do you have any clear definition of how can we differentiate between the two?
Well, I come from a long line of teachers, so I actually really contemplated, how can I begin to teach this? Because these are huge concepts. So I like to look at it through this model of polarity, as you talked about, the polarities. And so I like to use symbols. And so the symbol of control, which is a form of power, can really be explored when we look at the archetype of the hunter. And the symbol of power is the majestic tree. So the hunter relies on, you know, if you look at it from the yin and the yang, or the yang and the yang, depending on how you're looking at it, the yang being the masculine, that has to do with what we can see or interface with our five senses. It's the light, the sun. It's the mind, the thinking. It's the action, the doing. And so the hunter will feel powerful and be able to manifest what it wants by identifying a target on the horizon, i.e. a goal in the physical form. And then we think about the plan. We come up with a plan with a lot of thinking, and then we sharpen our tools, and then we go out and we seek and find, and we focus very selectively to the exclusion of all else on the target. And then what the hunter does to finally feel powerful is it captures, conquers, kills the prize. Maybe it's a builder model and it builds, but basically it goes, ta-da, here's my trophy, or I got the animal. I can finally eat the thing. I can satiate my wanting, my hunger. Then we feel fulfilled for a day, maybe a week, and then the feeling passes and we're back to hunting again. So that's control. You're always chasing a target, trying to get the thing. You might feel happy for a little while, but it doesn't last. So it's powerful for outcomes, but the feeling of fulfillment and the feeling of power is very contingent on those outer world conditions. It also is contingent on what's happening inside, but it's much more outcome oriented. It's much more performance or productivity oriented. Now, the tree examines nothing, thinks about nothing, right? If we translate, well, what is a tree? How does that apply to me as a human being? We got a plant being. How does that relate to me as a human being? Well, we look at the polarity. So we use the mind, but it's for awareness. We don't zero in. We are open, which I know you loved talking about. We open our awareness. We have diffuse awareness, right? We're open to everything. We don't think, we feel in our body. We don't act, we experience with our beings and our bodies, right? And so I know for myself, because I was so well trained in the doing model of power, and the being model of power was like, it was a nice idea for a long time. It was a nice idea. But then I'm like, all right, well, how does this actually translate to being and feeling powerful and actually manifesting concrete results, not just in the outer world, but in the experience of deep and lasting fulfillment? So I started to look at, I really became a student of the tree, and I started to see how that translated into human practices that we can all practice and really feel, experience our power, but actually produce, you know, have impact and influence in the world. So that's how I like to look at those two.
I love that, because I think it really helps people to visualize and to have a real picture of both, right? The hunter and the tree, the doing, the going after, and the beingness. I myself also was very much in the hunter, found that fulfillment and then temporary satiation and then the hunger again. And then I swung into the beingness quite heavily, and also found perhaps an imbalance there as well, where beingness was brilliant, but I still desired to experience that action and the achievement side of it. So I feel like this is what, you know, we're trying to accomplish, is that balance. And for me, when I started to balance those polarities, wow, you know, I started to really feel and experience that fulfillment all the time, but much more playful and expansive and enjoy while, you know, pursuing, so to speak, some sort of goal or objective. So tell us a little bit about, in your experience, have you swung hard to beingness? And what were kind of some of the deep lessons that you learned in that, your internal process of these different polarities?
Yes, that's such a great question. Well, my first foray into even being aware of polarities was, I like to say that I was sort of raised as the eldest male. My father was really the dominant parent in my life, even though my mom was very committed. It was just, you know, as a product of my environment, and as children, we all have our family of origin. But my father I lovingly referred to him as Mr. Spock. They're both deceased now. He was all logic and reason. And then my mother, she had a very, her relationship to her emotions was actually very unpredictable and ended up being kind of scary for me. She wasn't, you know, she was, I don't blame my parents, but we all do the best we can. And our parents are products of their environment. But long story short, I kind of sided with my father. And then I started to embrace his lens on the world. And he even said, which was a defining moment to me, don't be emotional like your mother. So I rejected the emotional part of me. And I started to see my same gender parent through my father's bias. And so I became a really good achiever. I had a business degree, you know, and talk about achievement. It felt great. I was trying to prove myself that I could trade stocks and bonds with the big boys. I got my finance degree and I was proving, very, very productive, high achieving, but I was dying a spiritual death and I left the brokerage industry. And it was really this moment where, well, I achieved everything I was supposed to achieve, so I thought. Meanwhile, I'm so unhappy and suffering with self-loathing and no sense of self and so lost that I just had this moment where I asked myself, what do you want to be when you grow up? And so I didn't even know. I didn't even know because I was just, you know, doing what I was supposed to do. And I finally asked myself, well, what do you like? And the answer was, I like magic. And this came from my childhood. That was like the first thing I could connect with was a childhood memory. And I'm like, great. What does that translate to as a grown-up, you know? But it ended up being what I call the invisible world. It was just everything that was mysterious and unseen and unexplainable with the mind. And so I just dove in to everything that had to do with self-development and psychology and emotions. I had an eating disorder. That was the big doorway into my emotions. And then that doorway of emotions led to my spirituality and my embracing of my energetic sensitivity and energy healing, all of that sort of stuff. So I dove into that world. And I kept just working at jobs to pay the bills, but that was my immersion. Then I got my master's in social work. So the pendulum swung there. And then I thought, well, I actually want to create something in the world. Just like you said, I like that feeling of achievement. And while being a social worker and working with disenfranchised populations was very meaningful, this distortion between that reality and then walking by people who had access to resources and power, you know, like having that available to do more in the world, I wanted to know how to merge those. And I took a class with an art therapist where she taught left and right brain integration. And I did. I felt kind of like a split personality. I had this like masculine energy and this feminine energy, and they were completely separate. Like, how do I merge them? You know? So that was my foray into that. And then, you know, fast forward to the work that I'm doing today, I really came to understand how the most powerful human beings on the planet are the ones that can access the full continuum of masculine and feminine. And here's the key, at will, as needed for the situation at hand. So it's a dance, and I love to dance, right? So as a matter of fact, when I went through a very difficult time, it was dance that ended up being my therapy. It was like, I connected with my body in a way that bypassed my mind. Talk about ecstatic. I mean, I connected to pure joy in a way I'd never, ever known through dance, through back to the body. So now through what I teach, I like to tell, you know, I work with very powerful women who tend to be over-reliant on the masculine doing, malnourished in the feminine being, and helping them come into balance. And so the understanding that I came to was when doing feels good, when it's fun and inspiring and you're animated, do it, right? But if it's not feeling good or it's not producing results, that's the time to stop and remember when in doubt, be first. And then as you nurture your being, that will inform the doing. And that's how I've come to learn how to harmonize the two.
I love that. Be first. And then, yes, if that's inspiring, that readiness, that vibrancy, that I call it the being lit, right? if that's there, then absolutely take action on it, right? But I love how you're bringing it back to the beingness. And I personally, I speak to the dancer a lot as well in the context of both dancing ourselves and dancing with a partner, because to me that really represents the feminine and the masculine. If the masculine is the only one doing any of the work, he's basically dragging the feminine around, right? And she's like a limp body, and there's no aliveness to a dance where the masculine is dragging the feminine around. And if it's, you know, just the feminine and he's not guiding, you know, he's not, you know, showing her the way and guiding the dance, then it could be all over the place. I mean, they could just be totally in two separate places dancing by themselves. They're not in harmony. They're not in union. And so I love using that symbolism as a way to see and visualize the masculine within ourselves and the feminine within ourselves as well. And I really love your advice to take that step back, take that breath, be. And then ask, where is that action? What action desires to come forward? In your work with your clients, I know that you work with a lot of women who are these high achievers. They are these successful women. And I'm presuming that they are largely in their masculine energy. So from your experience of working with these different women, do you believe that we can be truly powerful as women when we are swung only into our masculine energy, when we have rejected a level of the feminine, or we just don't even know her?
Yeah. Well, my experience and my clients have shown this to me over and over again is, I mean, I attract women who are already powerful. And yes, predominantly in their masculine energy. And corporate America, I like to think of corporate America as this place that has yet to fully birth corporate America is an environment that was made by men for men. And as we move into this conversation, it's not about gender or sexuality as much as these energies and models of power. And so the beautiful thing about many waves of the women's movement is it got women into these environments where there were opportunities that we didn't have access to. But in order to do so, we had to embrace a masculine model of power, which is fight our way to get in. And then once we were in, there wasn't a model of feminine power in that environment. So it was that environment was part of what molded how women got ahead and had to do it. And I've heard women say this over and over again, I had to become like a man to be in this environment. But the beautiful thing is it's already happening where that's not okay anymore. Something's missing. So women are in their power, in their masculine, but that's when I talk about settling. We are settling because we want more. We want something different, but we don't know how. Like I said, we're disconnected from our power. Many of us because our mothers, and I always say that our planet is starved for mothering. That it isn't just about being a powerful woman, but a powerful woman connected to this other aspect of ourselves, which is the feminine power, not just feminine energy, but there's power in that. And so what I have been so honored to do is as I help women through my work, connect with these aspects of their power, what I call these assets that they already have within us, and shift from fixing themselves in order to become something they think they're supposed to be, to nurture what is already within, but possibly invisible, possibly dormant, and bringing that to life, and not just having this one model of power, but it's not either or, but expanding upon it to now include more of their power and bring all of that to the table. That's amazing because then they're able to make things happen, but it's easier, It's faster and it's more fulfilling when you tap into the feminine. You know, the masculine is hard. The hunter is the sole provider. But when you tap into the power like the tree, life is the provider. You become an invitation for things beyond what your mind could know or your body could do on its own. So this is where women tap into that possibility and bring that through the power of their presence, not just the power of their productivity. It's amazing to watch.
I love that, the tapping into life, and it does become easier. It's amazing how much power we have available to us. And to me, the feminine is the magic. She is the oracle. She is the receiver of, just like the tree that has its roots down in the ground and is receiving nutrients, even when there's drought, right? Even when there's strong storms, like no matter the weather, the tree is rooted down. It's receiving what it needs. It's constantly receiving. And that feminine energy, you know, she's the negative polarity. She is drawing upon that power. And when we're in her, oh, the accessibility to what I call our inexhaustible wealth, right? Our inexhaustible resources are available to us. And then our hunter, our masculine, can really take that energy and really apply it. And just as you said, it becomes so much more fluid, so much more graceful, and like truly, truly ecstatic, truly enjoyable in the process. So is this what you've experienced in your own life?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what's interesting is I studied for 10 years in an organization that was very much about illuminating the differences between masculine and feminine energy. So that was the first place I explored polarity, was in the context of relationships between men and women. And that's where I first got this notion that was so foreign to me about, you don't have to do in this situation, just be. I'm like, what? What is that? Just be. What do you mean just be? I'm responsible for this team to produce these results. Just be. Just be. That was like, it did not compute. But as I have come to understand it, I still, and I think this is the truth, is like, we have our default settings and I still have a very strong masculine energy, but I went through a very difficult time where there was a lot of hardship and adversity and loss in my life. And so that thrust me into survival mode. And boy, if you're in survival mode, you're going to be in your masculine, because truly there's no room for feelings and slowing down in space. You've got to get stuff done. And that animal instinct kicks in. But what happened was I was out of the actual, you know, trauma, but still operating in that way. And I had this moment where I was sitting at my desk, and this happened in the last like 7 years. And I heard the wisdom of the past training come up, and I was just working really hard. And I heard a little voice say, Sonia, stop, just stop. Why are you overfunctioning? Why you know you're overfunctioning, you're overdoing, just be. But this time I had this new question, was like, but I gotta get shit done. How is being going to be powerful? How is it going to be productive? How is it going to be valuable? How is it going to produce the money, right? And that point, I was like, my mind, but I know better. You know better, Sonia. So I rooted down, just like you said. I'm like, I will not move from this spot. I just said, okay, life, how is being valuable and powerful? Like, how is this powerful? How is it going to help me if I stop the doing? That's when the tree came to me. And that's when I started to ask. And here's the thing, invitation versus intention. The hunter intends, the tree invites. We're just, like you said, just an invitation, right? So when we ask the right question, we are inviting the answers that we need. But if we're not asking the right question, we're not going to get the answers we need. Now I was asking the right questions. And so I just kept looking to the tree. It's like, okay, well, I'm not a tree, I'm a human. What do I do? Which is, of course, the do. The lens of doing. Okay, how do I need to be here? How do I need to be here? And that's when what I teach, the three-step receive method, started to download. I just started to receive it and then practice it. and practice. It's very simple. I just practice that and things would come into my life. So I had an alternative to just doing to receive the things I needed. I could actually stop and shift into being and actively practice receiving, and life would deliver. And then if there was action to take, then I'd be guided from that place of invitation and in alignment with my being rather than a disconnect or a severing from my being in survival mode. And then I started to try it out with my clients and they would get results. And then I tried it at a retreat and that they had big breakthroughs and results. And I thought, okay, is this a fluke? So then I made it into a course, but I really had to experiment and embody it and, you know, keep practicing this to really realize this is how life works. It isn't just a fluke. This is predictable. This is repeatable. And it is a skill. It's a learnable skill. We've just been so disconnected from that wealth of knowledge and wisdom that, you know, it's not in a book. It wasn't in a book I could find. I'd never really found it, but life delivered it.
I do the same thing. I am a big question creator. And I'm always teaching my clients, just throw the question mark out. Even if you don't have a question, you can throw an invitation of information out, just like question mark, universe, help me out here. And we can ask very intentional questions as well of what is my next step? What is the best or most aligned thing for me to be focusing on right now? What am I here to create? And all of those questions can open up so much information, just as you experienced, Sonia, when we're willing to A, ask the question, B, be present, breathe into our bodies to receive the answer. And then lastly, to trust that answer, because that's part of the process of like increasing that muscle, isn't it? Is if we're asking the questions and the answers are coming and we're like, yeah, whatever, and not listening, that muscle kind of gets a little soft and wiggly. So the courage, because it is courage, the courage to say yes to that, say yes to what we receive, trust those hits, trust that information, and take action on that. And so you have this three-step method that just sounds really wonderful. It sounds very clear and precise. And is there a way that people can find that?
Yes, absolutely. Anyone who wants to visit my site, it's surpassyourlimits.com. And right on the homepage, there's a little ebook. So you can actually learn more about it. I actually forgot until this moment, but the ebook itself teaches the three-step method. So it's whatifitwaseasyebook.com.
Wonderful. Yes, yes, yes. And any other way that you would like the listeners to know of how they can reach you or best ways, social media handles?
Yeah. So surpassyourlimits.com is my website. And I just found out the other day that not everybody hears the S. So it's surpassyourlimits.com. And then my Instagram is @surpassyourlimitsmentor. Also my YouTube channel, Surpass Your Limits Mentor, Facebook, Sonia Miller. So you can find me there. So I think if you just look up Sonia Miller and Surpass Your Limits, you'll find what you need.
Fantastic. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. So it is time for our activation. So I always invite the audience, the listeners that to join in, to follow along, unless you're driving, and then maybe come back and listen to this at a better time. But we're going to close our eyes and bring our awareness to our body. So feeling your body, feeling what you're sitting on, just feeling your body. Sometimes it helps to just move your body ever so subtly so that you feel it. You know, if you just kind of wiggle back and forth, do a subtle rock back and forth, you can feel your body. This is so important to feel your body and be present with your body. And let's just take some nice deep cleansing breaths. So we breathe in through the nose. We breathe out through the mouth. I highly invite you to make noise. To exhale, to sigh, even to roar if you feel so inclined. Yes, yes, yes. And we're going to be calling upon right here, right now, calling upon your femme power within you. So taking your awareness to the left side of your body, and more specifically down into your left ovary, just using your intention to know about where that is in your body. And we're calling here now, calling upon your left ovary and your femme power, your ability to receive the bountifulness of life, your ability to be nurtured and nourished, your ability to nourish and nurture your beingness, your cultivation of your creative life force energy, your Shakti. And taking another deep breath, you are increasing this beautiful femme power within you. As you inhale, you are increasing your femme power. As you exhale, you are letting go, releasing, letting go of anything that desires to be released right here, right now. Yes, yes, yes. Beautiful. And we're going to shift our awareness over now to the other polarity, to the right side of your body, to the masculine energy, dropping your awareness down to your right ovary. Again, just through your intention. And now as you inhale, you are increasing your masculine energy. Oh, your protector, your provider, your structure, your logic, your action taker. Yes, yes, yes. Breathe into him, my love. Breathe into him as you're expanding your masculine. And exhale, you're releasing anything that is ready to let go, releasing anything that is ready to be let go. Excellent. And now we're just going to move back and forth between the two. Next one, inhaling on the left in our feminine. Exhaling. Inhaling on the right on our masculine. Exhaling. Yes, yes, yes. Inhaling again on the left, our feminine. Exhaling. And inhaling on the right, our masculine. Exhaling. As we call these energies of equilibrium, calling the polarities to reach equilibrium, calling the beautiful Vesica Pisces, the perfect creation to exist as the masculine and the feminine, unite as the masculine and the feminine, harmonize, and equalize within your bodies, equalizing within your physical body, your emotional body, your mental body, and your spirit body. Yes, 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 and so it is, and so it is, and so it is. By the power of the divine trinity, the perfection of three, it is done. Yay. Ooh. So whenever we, you know, breathe back and forth between a space like that, breathing and taking any energy, and this can be any polarity, taking our awareness back and forth between polarities, we kind of invite them closer and closer, where they start to connect and dissolve. And where polarities meet, God is revealed. God is revealed. Creation, source, divine love is revealed. So it's an excellent practice. In alignment with this conversation that we had here today with our wonderful host, Sonia Miller. Sonia, it's always just such a pleasure connecting with you, and I'm just really delighted that you came on here today. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Alara. It's been just so much fun, such a joy. I'm so happy that you are birthing this into the world.
Okay, ecstatic women, please be sure to share this. Think of all of the women that you know, and even men. Of course, this is an excellent conversation for both. As Sonia said, this is not about gender, but share this episode. This is the kind of information that everyone can hear and everyone can benefit from. Definitely reach out to Sonia, connect to her, send her your love, and be sure to subscribe so that you're always connected to the Ecstatic Woman podcast. Until next time.
thank you for being a part of the Ecstatic Women podcast. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your inner wisdom and living your life ecstatically. If you want to be invited back to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.